chapter 12, starting in verse 1 down to verse 3. Let's go. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All right, that sounded good. You guys are the best readers, I think. Best readers. Hey, we've been in this series called Words That Change Everything. And we've been learning about the power of words. That the words that we speak, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, it says that our words, that our tongue, in our tongue, is the power of life and death. And the reason why we've been learning is because God created the world with words. It's all over the scripture, but you remember we've been reading in Psalm 33, where it says, for he, referring to God, he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. All the complexity of the universe, all the galaxies, all the little microorganisms in our soil, all the detail in our cells, even atoms and, you know, quarks and all those other crazy little things that go into making up the universe and the fabric of the universe, all of those things were created when God spoke. He made everything by speaking it into existence. That's how powerful he is. But it's also who he is. God created things by speaking, and then it says in Genesis that he made us in his image. And he gave us his authority. He delegated his authority to us so that we as human beings on this earth now have authority and have power to speak words of life or to speak words of death. It's all over the Bible. Jesus himself taught us this. Didn't Jesus say in Mark 11, we've been looking at this the last number of weeks, didn't Jesus himself say, oh, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will be done, he will have what he says. Even Jesus modeled this. He would calm storms with words, cast out demons, heal people with words. And not just any words, words of faith. God's word spoken from our mouth with faith. Jesus said, you can even tell a mountain to move. You can tell something that is impossible to move in the natural. You can tell it to move. See, God created us to do this, to take his word, his living, active, powerful word, believe it, and then speak it and see things change all around us. Just like he does. And Jesus modeled it, and Jesus told us we could do it, told us we need to do it. And so we've been learning how to speak words of life. The Lord has been showing us that we need to stop speaking words of death. We need to stop speaking words that curse ourselves, curse other people. We need to stop speaking death over our finances, death over our bodies, death over our future, our purpose, our ministry, our marriage, our relationships. And we need to start speaking life by speaking God's will and God's word over those things in our life. And so this is what the Lord's been teaching us. And this morning, I want to talk to us about words of blessing. Words of blessing. All over the Bible are these words of blessing. And Genesis chapter 12 is a huge example of this. In fact, Genesis chapter 12, you'd have to say is, it's the turning point, if you will, in human history. Because in Genesis chapter 12, it's a key turning point, at least in human history. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls one man named Abram. He later changes his name to Abraham. And through this one man, Abraham, comes the people of Israel, who are to this day the Jewish people. And then through Israel, he brings Jesus, the Messiah, who becomes a blessing to us, to all the families of the earth. Just like it said in the end of Genesis chapter 3, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How is it that all the families of the earth, all the different people of the earth are blessed in Abraham? Because through Abraham came Jesus. And it's when people come to Jesus that they can receive the blessing of God. But here's what's so interesting. In these words of Genesis chapter 12, God comes to Abram and he begins to bless Abram. He says, Abram, or Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you great. And so God confers, endows Abraham with a blessing. But how does he do it? With words. With words. He calls Abraham into this relationship where Abraham would walk with him by faith. And then he blesses Abraham, but notice he does it with words. The same God who spoke the world into existence with words that caused things that were not as though they are, caused things that did not exist to all of a sudden exist. Those same powerful words came out of God's mouth, and now they're not directed at stars and galaxies. Now they're directed at one man named Abraham, and God, with his powerful, supernatural words, says to Abraham, I will bless you. And he puts on to Abraham a blessing with words. See, the reason why this is a turning point is because before, in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke blessing to all of humanity, be fruitful and multiply. And God was putting onto every human being, man and woman, of every different culture, a blessing to walk in his authority. But now God is speaking to one man through whom he wants to bring redemption to the whole world. And this one man, God is saying, I am calling you out from all the other nations, from all the different people. It's not that God didn't love everybody. It's that God made this covenant with Abraham, a special covenant, so that he could redeem the whole world. But he needed a man on the earth to trust him, somebody that he could work with to get redemption and healing and blessing onto the earth, because people were walking away from God and sinning and such. And so God calls this man Abram, and he says, listen, you're going to be different from everybody else. You're going to be set apart from everybody else. I'm calling you to myself, and I'm going to do something in you that I'm not saying to everybody else. God is not saying these words to every human being. God is saying these words to a man named Abraham, and he comes into covenant with this man named Abraham. Do you see what I'm saying? Words of blessing that set Abraham apart from every other person. And he says to Abram, listen, if you follow me, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. And these supernatural words of blessing, listen to what it does for Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13, it says this of Abraham in verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Everyone say, very rich. Now, see, the blessing of the Lord is not just financial, for sure. The blessing of the Lord is not riches only. But when God blessed Abram and he told him, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you, it caused something to begin to happen in Abram's life that caused him to increase. And it manifested in his life, even financially. I love this verse. Only because it really confronts people with their dishonesty with the Bible. Let's just say that. Maybe that was a little bit too forward. I love that it doesn't say Abram was very spiritually rich. I love that it doesn't just end with Abram was very rich. Because you know somebody would be like, well, you know, it's just spiritual. You know, there's a lot of blessings out there. They're not material, you know, relational blessings and all that. And by the way, that's true. But it says that he was very rich and then tells you what he was very rich in. Livestock, silver, gold. Just in case somebody wanted to, you know, take away the details of the Bible. This man had servants, hundreds of servants, right? People working for him. I mean, he was a boss. He paid them, you know, such. And he had these servants, employees. He had all these livestock. He was a farmer. He was a nomad. And he continued to increase in his business. And the Bible's saying, oh, he was blessed in that way. Listen to what Proverbs 10, verse 22 says. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he, God, adds no sorrow with it. Adds no sorrow with it. Notice that it doesn't say the blessings of the Lord are riches. It doesn't say that. It says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. The blessing. It's actually a very distinct thing. It's saying the blessing. What is the blessing of the Lord? It's words that God spoke over Abram and words that he speaks over us. The blessing of the Lord. the blessing of Abraham. Notice it's in that definitive sense. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. What does that mean? See, the word blessing, it actually comes from a Hebrew word, baraka. It's actually where our former president's name comes from. Barak means blessing. And baraka means blessing. And it's referring to the source of blessing and words that are conferred on somebody to cause them to have an abundant and effective life. And what happens when the blessing of the Lord comes upon a person, it brings peace. It brings joy. It brings life to every area of their life. They begin to flourish in every area. Their relationships are blessed. Their finances are blessed. And whatever they put their hand to begins to prosper. So that it does manifest in part in provision, in financial blessing. It's not reserved to that in any way. But I just wanted you to see that in Abraham's life, and even many scriptures do say that the blessing of the Lord, it causes a person to increase, and even God will make that person to flourish financially, but God will add no sorrow to it. See, it's talking about blessing that's holistic, not just somebody getting rich and having miserable relationships and being bound in sin. No, God is saying, no, when the blessing of God comes on a person, oh, it causes them to financially increase, but it's because God's favor is on them, and he causes what they're doing to prosper. Listen to Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. What's it talking about? Fruitfulness. And notice what it says here. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord is on that person. Whether it's business, whether it's ministry, whether it's in your relationships, whatever it is, you're looking for a job, you're wanting a promotion in the job, whatever it is, the Lord's blessing causes what you do to prosper. That's the blessing of the Lord. Or listen to this in Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's a blessing from the Lord that causes peace, that causes protection, that causes God to put a hedge of protection around somebody. In Joshua 1:5, listen to this. God says to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's the blessing of the Lord that brings victory, that brings breakthrough. See, no matter what place you're at right now, the blessing of the Lord will cause a person to rise. You ever been swimming and you take one of those beach balls full of air and you try to shove it down under the water? And what does it do? It just whoop, pops right back up, right? I love that. That's super fun. That's just fun. You push it down, you sit on it, and then it pops out. I mean, my kids love that. My kids, oh, they laughing all the whole time, right? Oh, let me try. And it's hilarious when you've got, you know, somebody who's like tiny, and they're all like trying to, you know, put their stomach on it, and it's popping up out of, you know, and it's flying all over the place. And if you get it really good, you push it down really far, you can get it to launch up really high. I'm telling you, that's what the blessing of the Lord does. You're that beach ball, full of air. You push it, somebody push you down, pop, you're going to pop right back up, see? No man can stand against you all the days of your life. You start at the bottom, poop, you're going to pop right up. That's the blessing of the Lord. Why? Because the favor of God on a person's life causes them to rise. That's what happened in Abram's life. God called him. He left his family. He left his inheritance. He left his comfort. He left everything. Went to a country, didn't own land, nothing. And God caused him to rise. Even in the midst of famine, rise. One time his nephew Lot got captured and thousands of soldiers. And Abram took his 300 servants and attacked them at night and won. Why? The blessing that no man can stand against you. Psalm 34 verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Man, you shove that beach ball down under the water, but pop, it's going to pop right back up. There might be some hard times. There might be some afflictions. There might be some things that come against the people of God, the righteous people of God who are in Christ. But I'm telling you, pop, the blessing of the Lord is going to cause that person to be delivered and have victory. Now, What happened was Abraham had a son named Isaac, the son of promise. And Abraham, if you will, the blessing of the Lord went to the next generation. And so listen, God actually comes to Isaac, Abraham's son, and he says to Isaac in Genesis 26, it says this, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And listen to what the Lord said. It says, then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Sounds a lot like Genesis 12, doesn't it? Isaac, I'm going to bless you. I made a promise to your father, and I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to bless you because of your father Abraham. See? The blessing was to Abraham and to his descendants. And God is saying to Isaac, not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing to all the other nations. What happened with Isaac? Isaac's in a famine, as it says, and it says right here in verse 12 of Genesis 26, then Isaac sowed in that land, and reaped in the same year 100-fold. In the midst of famine, in the land that doesn't have enough rain, doesn't have enough water, nobody else's crops are growing, and Isaac listens to the Lord, does what God says, he puts seed in the ground anyways, even though it shouldn't work, and it says in that same year, in the midst of the famine, yet he reaped 100-fold. 100-fold. And then it says this, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 13, it says, the man, Isaac, began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. What am I saying? This guy starts at the bottom. This guy starts in a famine, and he does what the Lord said, and the Lord blesses it, and he continues to increase and increase and increase so much that all the other people around him are saying, how are you making that work? How is that working for you? And of course, the answer from Isaac is God. The blessing is on my life from the Lord. Not because, oh, I'm so smart and I'm so savvy. See, that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants to bless his people to cause other people who don't know God to become envious, so they'll wonder, how is it that God, or how is it that you seem to be increasing, even though things seem to be against you, yet you seem to overcome? And the answer is God, not because we're so awesome or special or savvy or charismatic or anything like that. And then God gets the glory. That's what God wants. He wants to get the glory. He loves his people, and he wants to get glory. Well, Isaac passes the blessing on to Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And the blessing goes on to Jacob. Listen to this. With Jacob, Isaac speaks blessing over to Jacob when he sent Jacob out to go find a wife. He says, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Genesis 28, verse 2, he says, arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And listen to this in verse 3. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. How did the blessing get passed to Jacob? Words. You see that? Words. See, these words of blessing, when a person speaks them, it's like conferring on a person an inheritance. It's like instead of giving them the money or the, you know, sometimes an inheritance, you know, we hey, show me the money. I want the money. No. You don't want the money. You want the blessing. You want God's favor on your life. And what's going on here is instead of giving Jacob tangible possessions, he's speaking words of blessing. And notice what he says, may God Almighty bless you. And then he confers on him, I'm conferring on you the blessing of Abraham. The blessing that causes a person to rise. The blessing that causes a person to get victory. The blessing that causes whatever you put your hand to prosper. The blessing that causes other people to envy you because of what God is doing in you and through you. And Isaac blesses Jacob with this blessing, the blessing of Abraham. And Jacob begins to supernaturally prosper as well. Jacob, again, starts with nothing. Nothing. And he actually goes and he works for his father-in-law, Laban. Works for him 14 years and then another 6 years. He works for him for about 20 years. And in that time, Laban, because Laban was greedy, Laban would keep changing his wages 10 times. Kept trying to trick him, trying to change the deal. It's kind of like if you worked for commission, if you worked on commission, it'd be like you doing sales and doing really good, and every time you're doing good, your boss, your manager, whatever, tries to change the commission structure to mess you up so that they make more money and you make less. And every time they change the commission structure, boom, God blesses you with a different way. That's what happened with Jacob. Laban tried to change it over here. Oh, you're getting blessed this way? I'm going to change it. And God would just bless Jacob. Listen to what Jacob says after the end of these like 20 years, and he's leaving. He's getting out of Laban's house, and he's taking his family. He's getting out of there because he wants to grow on his own. And he says this in Genesis 31, verse 41, "Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters." By that, he was working to pay off a dowry, if you will, all right? And it says, "And 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. And listen to this in verse 42. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed." Yeah, it's true. Without God, we're going empty-handed. Without God, yeah, there are things in our society, bosses, certain systems, certain structures, that, yeah, without God, yeah, I'd be left empty-handed. Without God, I'd probably stay right there. But God puts the blessing on his people, and they start to rise. And despite injustice, despite changing wages, despite all of that, who won in the end? Jacob. Laban lost everything. Why? Because the blessing of Abraham is, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Listen, we're not like everybody else. We're not like every other human being. God loves every person, yes, but not every person is in covenant with God. Not every person has the blessing of Abraham on their life. And so many believers, they don't know this, and they don't walk in this. And so they allow things to happen that should not happen. They begin to speak curses over their life, speak words of death over their life, rather than speaking life and getting into alignment with God and speaking blessing and allowing the Lord to work. See, Jesus, when we came into Christ, we came into the blessing of Abraham. That's part of what the Lord wanted to do in our lives. He didn't just forgive us of our sins. He didn't just give us eternal life. The Bible makes it clear that when Jesus died for our sins, he wanted to make sure all the blessings that he created us for would come to us. And so he designed it in such a way, it says in Genesis 3, starting in verse 13, it says, "Christ has redeemed us, set us free from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Curses everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Listen, that the blessing of Abraham. Everyone say, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That means those who are not Jewish by birth. All the different peoples of the earth, all the different families of the earth that God wants to bless. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It also goes on to, Paul goes on to say in Galatians 3:29, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." See, if you're in Christ, then you're in Abraham, and you receive the blessing of Abraham. The same blessing that came to Abraham, and then was conferred to Isaac, and then it was passed to Jacob, that same blessing is upon you. And how does it come to our life? With words. words. I know, it doesn't seem significant because it's like a little seed that you put in the ground. If you ever planted a seed, it looks like nothing. And it does nothing for months, or not months, like weeks if you water it and such. It does nothing until one day it starts to sprout and to grow and to bear fruit. Right? It's like a little pebble. Seems so powerless. But that pebble start rolling down a mountain full of snow, cause an avalanche, cause a huge landslide of snow. Man, you better get out the way, you're going to die. And that's what happens. The word of God is spoken to his people, and it seems, oh, it's just a little seed. Oh, you just wait, because if you water it, if you'll agree with God and speak God's word in your life and walk in faith, that little seed will bear fruit. That little pebble will cause an avalanche in your life. Why? Because it's called the blessing. And nobody can stop the blessing of God. Nobody can stop that blessing. See, it's not riches. It's the blessing of God that causes one to rise in any area of their life and in anything that we put our hand to. See, if you're in Christ, if you've come into a relationship with God through Jesus, you're in covenant with God, and those words of blessing are conferred to you. But see, a lot of times, nobody has spoken those blessings over our life. Sometimes preachers don't even speak these blessings over people's life to help them to understand what we have in Christ. Many times our family does not speak words of blessing over our life growing up. Maybe words of death, maybe words that curse us, put us down, say we're not going to be anybody or achieve anything. And those words get into our hearts and we believe them and we speak them and it limits us. But do you hear what the Lord is telling you today? The Lord is, as a loving father, is saying, no, I bless you. God is saying, I give to you the blessings of Abraham. I love you, and I am with you, and I am not against you, I am for you. And the Lord is speaking words of blessing over you. See, the moment I met you and all the other people that have been coming to the Rock here, I began to speak words of blessing. The moment I was called to St. Louis and then moved here, I spoke words of blessing over the city. But the moment I met you, I began to pray for you and speak blessing over you. Why? Because I know that there are these words of death that are spoken. And I know that many people, they don't believe this, but I know that I, in the name of Jesus, as your pastor, that I have the privilege and I believe I have an authority to declare blessing over you. And of course, to teach us God's ways so that we can get into agreement with God and do it his way as well. I was thinking about this in Michelle's life and my life. You know, we've made sacrifice after sacrifice to serve the Lord for almost 20 years now. I've been a believer more than 20 years, but in ministry for almost 20 years now. And we have made sacrifice after sacrifice. And yet I remember being young in the ministry, working part-time job. She's working, I was working a part-time job and then working at the church. Made a little bit of money from the church. She was working a full-time job. I remember even cutting back a day at the pool table store I sold. And no, by the way, I'm not good at pool. People always ask me that. Oh, are you good at pool? No, I sold the pool table. I didn't play pool. Yeah, I always had to clarify that. And I remember cutting back one day from the pool table store. You know, you're wondering as a young couple, how are we going to make our bills and stuff? And what did the Lord do? We just kept rising. Raises, promotions. Now, we had to make some cuts and such to make those things happen. And then rising. And I remember just different, we'd always put the ministry first. And yet, raises, promotion. When our first son was born, Michelle stopped bringing in income. She works hard. Talk about being a mom, 24/7, right? But she stopped bringing in income years ago. What did the Lord do? I mean, from a natural perspective, oh shoot, we had two incomes. Now we're going to go down to one. What did the Lord do? He brought increase. He did. Perfect timing. I can tell you more of the details later. What am I trying to say? Whatever I put my hand to, the Lord causes it to prosper. Does it happen right away? No. I'd love it if it happened overnight. Woo! That'd be great. Instantaneous. Have there been trials? Oh, yeah, yeah. Setbacks? Of course there have. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them from them all. See? I'm just saying, I'm looking back at my life and I'm realizing, and it's not just financial. I'm just saying those things matter, okay? I mean, let's just be honest. We worry about money. God makes promises about money. We don't need to worry. God knows and God cares and God has the wisdom and he's made promises. And so what I'm saying is, whatever I put my hand to, the Lord has prospered me. The greatest blessing, obviously, for me, is that I get to do ministry. I get to serve the Lord. Called me here to St. Louis. The greatest blessing is the fact I have these three wonderful kids, my wife, and we're in unity. I know a lot of people, they got a lot of money. They'd probably pay a lot of money for unity in their family, peace in their home. Man, my kids love Jesus. We have fun together. We're loving each other. I mean, we have our struggles. That's called the blessing of the Lord. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord will bring wisdom, will bring direction, will bring fulfillment, will bring satisfaction, will bring provision, will bring favor. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the blessing of Abraham. And that's the blessing that's on our life. Listen to this in Deuteronomy 28. It says, the Lord will command the blessing on you. I love that. The Lord will command the blessing on you. Words, declare, command, blessing to come upon you. And it says this, the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand. Verse 13 says it this way, and the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I know sometimes we start beneath, but he's saying, oh, you're going to rise. You push that ball down, it's going to pop up. You're going to be above only, not beneath. Above only, not beneath. You're going to be above only, not beneath. That's called the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord that he commands on us. And he causes it to overtake our lives. I love the way King David says it in Psalm 23. David says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, that word follow is good, but sometimes the translation doesn't have the oomph. The word literally means to pursue and overtake. He's saying surely because he believes it. Surely goodness and mercy, the blessing of God, he says, will overtake my life. David said that when he's being chased by King Saul. Guy's trying to kill him. David lost everything, lost his reputation, lost his money, lost his family. Everything. And David says, sure, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What's David saying? I believe what God has said over my life. See, the blessing of the Lord doesn't mean that you're always going to, no, it's always going to be good and easy. No, I didn't say that. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Look at Joseph. Joseph was a son of Abraham. Joseph was a son of Jacob, who's the son of Isaac, who's the son of Abraham. Joseph, he got sent into slavery, did nothing wrong, got sent into slavery, rose to the top. Then somebody lied about him, they threw him in prison. What did he happen in prison? Rose to the top. Then he tried to help somebody, they forgot about him. Finally, he gets called to the king's palace, and in one day he goes from being a prisoner and a slave to becoming the second in command in all of the nation of Egypt, and God uses him to save the people of Israel. Blessed and a blessing. See, you can't keep us down. See, the blessing is like strapping you to like a jet. You know? I mean, it's like, oh man, I gotta get from here to there, you know? I gotta get from here to California, and you're like, oh, I just got my 2 feet. You wanna do it in your own human effort, you're gonna be walking for a long time, you're gonna be tired. God's like, no, get on my plane, you know what I'm saying? Jump on the plane, get you there in a couple hours. See, that's the blessing of God. Not your own human effort, not you just trying to do it in your own strength, but you depending on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, receiving his blessing in your life. Man, he said, man, I'm going to strap your life to a rocket and get you there. Nothing can stop you. That's what the blessing of the Lord does in a person's life. Listen to this in 2 Chronicles 16:9. God says this. God is saying this to us. Listen, the Lord's saying to you, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. He's looking to demonstrate his power and his glory. those whose hearts are loyal to him. What does that mean? Who seek first the kingdom, who believe God, who are depending on God rather than all the different natural means that people put their trust in. To say, no, God, you're my God. And depend on him so that he can do something supernatural through our lives and cause his glory to shine through our lives. I was listening to some of our pastors. Our church has 18 congregations. And I was listening to one of our pastors in January talk about the blessing of God on their life. One of our pastors, the wife is the main lead pastor, and then he's like the co-pastor, and he went and got another job to support the family and the ministry. Many of our pastors do that. They lay their lives down to serve the Lord and to serve God's people. None of us are in it for money or nothing like that, all right? And so he went and got a job, and he's just asking the Lord, what kind of job should I do? What should I do? And he went and got a job selling cars. And he was explaining that the average salesman in his company, in his dealership, is 12 sales in a month, to sell 12 cars in a month. And that's a good thing. He doesn't work Sundays, which would be like a peak time to sell cars, right? And guess how many he made in December? 32. 32. That's more than double. That's almost triple. That's the blessing of God. Why? Why? Because he asked the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to work? Why? Because he's serving the Lord, him and his wife. And he goes and he works hard and he's respectful. But listen, you would think that he's like super charismatic and like flamboyant and out there like a typical car salesman. He's so quiet. This guy is super quiet. Like he's just chill. So chill. Right? He's one of those guys where he's like mad, happy, sane, right? And he goes and he sells cars, 32 in 1 month. That's the blessing of the Lord. Doesn't even work on Sundays. And you know what everybody's asking him, how do you do that? And what does he do? He gives God glory. I was talking to another pastor, same month, in January, because we were back there having meetings, and this guy's got a new car. And I said, oh, that's a nice car. And he says, oh yeah, the Lord gave me that car. New car. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What happened? And he says, oh, well, we were praying for a new car, and we asked the Lord very specifically. We said, Lord, we're asking for you to do this in our life, this kind of car. And guess what? He didn't tell anybody anything. Doesn't talk about it like in front of the church or anything like that. And one day a guy says, calls him up and says, hey, pastor, I want to take you to lunch. But I'm not trying to hint at anything right now, right? And I'm good. I got good cars. He says, pastor, I want to take you to lunch. The guy takes him to lunch, and the guy takes the pastor to lunch and he says, listen, we were praying, my wife and I, and we felt like we're supposed to buy you a car. What? Who does that? That's craziness. Guy buys this pastor a car. Then the other pastor, this two pastors in one campus, Spanish pastor and an English pastor, the Spanish pastor says, hey, that's pretty cool. I'm going to do that too. So he starts praying and asking the Lord for a car. And the Lord does the same thing. Somebody bought him a car. Isn't that funny? That's hilarious. Hey, let's show that video really quick. I want you to see this. The blessing of God. I know this guy. We're going to show a video right now. Real quick video. I know this guy. He is a firefighter, man of God, does missions trips. He takes pictures all over the rock in Anaheim, in our main campus in Anaheim. Friend of mine. We hang out. We talk. This is the real deal. Listen to this.
They called it a squamous cell carcinoma, which is cancer. So that's what I was faced with in April of last year. It was stage 4 cancer. It was rare and it was aggressive. We were shocked. Cancer, me, I never would have imagined. I've lived a healthy, active life, and to hear that kind of news is just so foreign. You never expect it. What I did really soon, I think within days, is that I opened up my whole schedule or my life. I just got into God's Word. Every day, that's what I did. And I would listen to audio CDs from Pastor Jerry or from other trusted ministers. I would watch videos. I would get into God's Word. I began to find scriptures that related to what I was going through. And then at the beginning, I accumulated probably about 15 or 20 scriptures that became very, very dear to me, that I believed, and I started memorizing those scriptures, and I would read them all before I stepped out of bed. I couldn't start my day without them. The battle's up here. And so I started memorizing scriptures. Today I have about 60 of them. Then I read all of them before I get out of bed. And it wasn't just memorizing or just speaking them, but believing them. The battle is when we decide to say, no, God's word says this, and I'm going to speak it because I believe it, right? And I declare God's word into that treatment room. And then from that day forward, for 8 weeks, every day, I came into that treatment room and spoke a scripture, but now it wasn't just about me, it was about them. So I would share scriptures about healing, but I'll also share scriptures about salvation. And then every day they expected it, and they would see me come in and they say, what do you have for us today? And I would declare God's word into the atmosphere, into that treatment room. And I knew that it was real, and I knew that it was powerful. And I just had a PET scan a few days ago, which was important. And it showed that all that's left of this tumor right here is just scar tissue. They don't detect any cancer in me or in my body. And it's because God's word is true. And that's what I want to do. I want to tell all of you that God's word is true.
Amen, huh? That's the power of God. Blessed, he's blessed, but a blessing. You see, he spoke words of salvation and blessing into other people as well. See, this is what the Lord wants. The Lord is looking for a people who will believe his word and speak it into their own lives, speak it into their families, speak it into their workplace. See people come to know him, of course. That's the number one. But also so that God can work supernaturally to bring healing. And praise the Lord, he used some of the doctors and the treatments and such, right? But supernaturally brought health and healing to him, even through the work of the doctors. And the Lord bringing provision, blessing, favor, and promotion to our life because of his blessing. And this is what the Lord has for you. You are a child of God. And the blessing of Abraham is on your life. Let's go ahead and stand and respond to the Lord. I want to speak words of blessing to you. As your pastor, I want to speak words of blessing over you. And I want to encourage you, if whether people have spoken blessing to you or not, maybe some people have never spoken blessing to you, but I'm going to declare blessing over you. And I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that every curse that's ever been spoken over you, it's broken right now in the name of Jesus. Every lie, every accusation, every word against you, I break it off in the name of Jesus. I break off every curse of poverty, or curse of sickness, or curse of defeat and failure. I command those words to be silenced right now in Jesus' name. I declare that you are a child of God, and the blessing of Abraham is on your life. The blessing, I command the blessing on you. I command the blessing on you and your family and your descendants, upon your property, your finances, upon your purpose, your calling, and your destiny. I command the blessing upon your physical body and your health. I declare life to you in the name of Jesus. And I declare the blessing will come upon you and overtake you. You will be above only and not beneath. You will be above only and not beneath. The Lord will lift you up. He will go before you and he will fight for you. Because he is for you and not against you. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive your blessing. I am a child of God. And I live in the blessing of Abraham. I will be above only and not beneath. I cannot be stopped. I cannot lack because you are with me. You are my healer, my provider, my God. You are my victory. And I reject, I negate, I cancel every curse against me and my family in the name of Jesus.